Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday edition of The Yard later in the day. Again, it's Mondays are busy for me. They really are. I don't dread Mondays, but it is a very busy day. And I've looked forward to this today because this is like, I knew once I sat down to record the Boneyard, like the workday would be over, even though this takes, you know, some time. But I look forward to doing this show. Had a couple big articles today, free ones. Interviewed Elijah Magnamy this morning. A lot of parallels between the 2018 and 2025 baseball seasons. And I thought, hey, who better to talk to than Elijah Magnamy? Of course, a big walk-off home run against Florida State in a regional. Hit the home run against Florida in game one of that series to end the regular season. Was big. Had the walk-off against Vanderbilt, first game of the Reed Super Regional. There was a lot of good moments with Big Mac, as you know. So I hit him up. That's free. You can go check it out. Magnum remembers the Maroon Magic. And then worked the phones today, got some intel, and put together kind of a primer of what to expect with the NCAA Selection Committee. Not just for us, but just kind of some of the decisions that they face. I don't know that I would want to be on that committee. Like, I would want to do it anonymously, right? Because I wouldn't want to have to deal with all the social media stuff, right? And listen, that's part of being a good leader. I get it. But I'd love to sit down in that room and just kind of break it all down. I watch a lot of college baseball. I follow it very closely. And I think it's neat to see that process kind of unfold. There's no way that everybody is going to be happy. Right, there's always going to be somebody that thinks they got screwed by the committee. I submit to you that whoever gets Florida and Mississippi State this year in their bracket is going to feel like they got screwed by the committee. Gators and Bulldogs both red hot. Florida probably the hottest team in the country, winning six of the final 10 regular season weekends. Absolutely outstanding. And, you know, if they have a good week in Hoover, don't be shocked that they end up hosting. Momentum matters. It does. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bulldog momentum. We'll look ahead to the SEC bracket. Now, kind of bear in mind right now, I'm recording this show Monday evening. We're set to play the last game on Tuesday. The weather forecast does not look favorable. So we may end up playing Wednesday morning. We will be there either way. We'll be there. I want to get over there. I enjoy going. I enjoy seeing my friends that I only see once or twice a year. I enjoy being around college baseball people. So I'll be there. I'm sure some other people will be as well, you know, but the reality of it is, you know, we don't have a lot left to prove or gain. Like, we're never going to play ourselves into hosting. Even if we won the SEC tournament, we're not going to host. Okay? Just go ahead and remove that from your thought process. I've seen some people out there saying, hey, we may be able to. No, we're not hosting. Not going to happen. But we may be able to avoid the West Coast trip. And I would love to go to, like, Coastal Carolina. I think that would be great. I know some people are suggesting Southern Miss should host and will host. I don't agree. And I've run the numbers every which way till Sunday. I think that'd be great for us because if Southern Miss hosted, we'd make a very convenient number two because geography plays a factor in bracketology. It does. Because they want to avoid as many cross-country flights as they can get. They don't want to have 36 teams, you know, flying all over the country. You know, it's not like it's seated 1 through 64. There is a geographical component to all of this. And so, yeah, if Southern Miss hosted, yeah, it's a great spot for us. Great. And of course, it could be a good spot for Ole Miss, you know. But I just don't think that – I don't think either one of those teams is going to host unless something crazy happens. Like if Ole Miss – plays their way into Sunday, I think there's a chance, but I think it's a very small chance. I think when you look at the fact that Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss all finished with a 16-14 record. Okay, so you're like, okay, league finish. That's where we start. Then you look at RPI. Alabama, the number 9 RPI. It's a pretty good case, right? Alabama and Ole Miss didn't play head-to-head. Then there's Tennessee that played both Alabama and Ole Miss on the road and won both of those series. You're like, well, Steve, that makes good sense to me. Well, how about Tennessee dropping their last 5 series? Momentum not in their favor. And for that matter, Ole Miss down the stretch wasn't great either. They had a big weekend against Auburn. You know, had they lost that one, I mean, goodness, I mean, there's really not a lot of juice, I think, for Ole Miss to host. I know there's a lot of people out there that are advocating for them. I just don't see it happening. So I think we'll have a host site in the state of Mississippi this year, which is unfortunate. But yeah, the bottom line is, you know, we should have taken care of business and we wouldn't have had to worry about all that stuff. But yeah, state's going to be a road regional. The real question is, are we heading out west? Are we headed to Oregon? We headed to Oregon State? We headed to UCLA? I don't know. Are we heading to the east? Are we going to Tallahassee like so many have suggested? I don't know. I think that's kind of getting stale. And I don't know if Florida State wants us there. I mean, if I'm Mike Alford, the AD at Florida State, and granted there's only so much they can say, you know, when their team is being discussed, they can't be in the room. But those guys still go to dinner together. Yeah, those guys still have some ex parte conversations. It's only human nature. If I'm Mike Alford, I don't want Mississippi State coming back in there again. You don't want that. And I think that's a factor in things when it's all said and done. When you have representation on the committee, you get a little more of what you want. They try to put some guardrails up, but that's the reality of it. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to Tallahassee. We've had some good experiences in Tallahassee. I don't know that Florida State wants us there. But the reality of it is we're happy to be playing and be playing well. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We love them, and they love us. And if you're looking for a lunch with work colleagues or a night out with friends or family, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. You can have the adult beverage. We encourage you to do that after hours. But, yeah, you can have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. You can have that chocolate shake to go and ride that ride home with a smile. But you pick that place for the burgers, right? And even if everybody else in your party is feeling a burger, maybe you want to change it up and get those Sloppy Joe sliders, maybe that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. It's up to you. I'm not judging. But no matter what you choose, you're going to have a great night or a great lunch at a great place and get great service, great food at a great price. 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. So we already, of course, we had a Friday show from Columbia, Missouri, which is the first time that we've recorded in the great state of Missouri. Yeah. Sometimes it's fun to take the show on the road. It is. The sound quality is not always as good. It's the home studio. But the reality of it is, it's a good time. It is. So we got a couple of games we're going to recap here. And I was never worried about that Sunday game. I was worried about some of you because I thought if we have a Sunday game that is a little bit competitive, that some of you wouldn't be able to take it. Turns out I had nothing to worry about. Neither did you. But we'll break down the Friday and Saturday games. Then we'll kind of look ahead how the SEC bracket looks, kind of how it all finished up. We'll do a top 10 list today, too. A lot of reaction to one of my recent top 10s. We'll talk about that, too. But nevertheless, let's go back and talk about the final regular season games. Of course, Mississippi State wins the series at Missouri for the first time since 2014. We haven't played up there a lot. We're up there in 18, the second league series of the year. We lose an extra inning affair on a sack fly. Cold weather. Go up there in 22 looking to make a run. It didn't work out well for us. But nevertheless, it did this time. And as I share with you guys, last week, after talking to Kerry Jackson, we knew they were holding some pitchers for Hoover, and it showed. It showed in a major way. But nevertheless, let's run through it here real quickly, if we can. Indulge me. I know everybody's excited about the future, but let's take a moment to kind of wrap up the weekend. Top of one, this is, again, the Friday game. And a game, you know, we had a chance to knock them out Thursday night and mercy rule them. We didn't. And that proved to be a bad thing for them as Mississippi State puts up 25-7. Not quite as gaudy on Friday, but the game got over a little bit early. And again, one of the things that I love about our approach to the weekend series at Missouri is we were so businesslike in what we did. And we got a big start every ball game in the first inning, jumped right on them. And I don't care what the situation is in Missouri, but when you've got a guy that has spent, you know, a couple days with the coaching staff looking at your hot sheets and figuring out your tendencies, typically they get through the order before the dam burst. But State was prepared, and give Jake Gautreaux and that staff a lot of credit for being ready to go. So top of one here, Garrett Frye out of the lineup, so we just kind of move everybody up and insert Stallman a little bit later in the lineup. But Reeves grounds out to second. Remember, Reeves started the year as your leadoff guy and then ends the year as your leadoff guy. It's kind of interesting. And then Ace Reese doubles to right field. Of course, Ace Reese now your SEC Player of the Week and your SEC Newcomer of the Year. Super big season for him. And we discussed at the beginning of the year, we really felt like Ace Reese would be a dark horse for SEC Player of the Year honors. And had we won some more ball games, probably would get that. But Reese doubles to right field here. And then Sullivan right behind him doubles. Reese stops at third. And Ace is still not 100% with that foot. He's playing well. You don't begin to imagine what he'd be if he was 100%. But now runners, here we go. This is the difference in winning and losing a lot. You get two men in scoring position early. You need the big hit to get the runs in. Well, Hines rolls one out to first. They toss it a pitcher. It works like a bunt or a ground ball to the second baseman. Run scores, makes it 1-0. And then Beans' chance singles to center field. Drives in a second run. You're thinking, okay, we're good. We're good, man. Hey, I'm happy with this. But the Bulldogs are like, hey, if some is good, more is better. Stallman's hit by the pitch, and then Joe Powell, three-run shot off the batter's eye in center field to make it a 5-0 game. Stevens even singles, and then Sanders goes down swinging. So 5-0 lead before Missouri even gets a chance to swing a bat. And Evan Sieri didn't have the performance he had against Ole Miss, but gave us a quality start again. Lovich goes down swinging. Seals goes down swinging. Nicoletto pops up to the third baseman. So not a single ball really hit out of the infield. Bulldogs right back on the sticks. Reeves, again, it's going to be a great year, right, if Sawyer Reeves is leading off every inning. So Reese pops up to the third baseman. Reese then doubles. Sullivan flies out to right. Reese tags and takes third. Hines gets on base on a fielding error. We just kind of pop it up there, and they let it drop. Run scores, makes it 6-0. And then Bryce Chance, home run over the bullpen and left. And, man, it was a tank. And it's like I saw the replay that Mississippi State shared on social media, and they were talking about if it's fair, it's gone. Guys, there was no question that that was going to be a fair ball. None whatsoever. Bryce in the video kind of stops to admire it. He absolutely hammered that baseball. So, two-run shot makes it 8-0. Stallman grounds out, and now we're starting to kind of count it down. Yeah, we're going to mercy rule these guys. You just kind of had that feeling there was some give-up in Missouri. Cerna strikes out looking, nuts, and pops up to the shortstop. Goldback then walks, and then Patterson grounds out the short. So, here we are again, two innings in, and Missouri has not hit a baseball out of the infield. All right, top of third, Newback is out of the ballgame. They bring in Brock Lucas and did some decent things, I guess you could say, here. He keeps State off the board here in the third. Powell K's, Stevens flies out to left. Sanders, again, Sanders comes through with a single to left, and then Reeves flies out to right. Not a great weekend at the plate for Sawyer Reeves, but played some really good defense. He's just so smooth out there. All right, bottom of third, Missouri gets on the board. Hernandez flies out to right field, the first batted ball out of the Bulldog infield. And then Macon singles to center field. He's your nine-hole hitter. Macon eventually still second. Lovitch walks, and you just can't let a guy like that beat you. And then, what do you know, pass ball allows both guys to run up, to move forward. Seals goes down swinging. Really great at bat there from Evan Sieri. The good sequence there, he strikes him out on three pitches. And you feel like, okay, now we're a pitch away from getting out of this thing without giving up any runs. However, Nicoletto doubles to left field. Nicoletto from Perth, Australia. How about that? Both runs score, and then Cerna strikes out swinging. That was really the only threat that they had the entire ball game. And some of that, you know, we kind of aided in our own demise. But that's baseball. All right, top of four, Ace leads off with an 0-1 count and then hits a monster shot to right field to make it 9-2. And then State goes quietly after that. Sullivan flies out to center. Hines strikes out swinging, and then Beans goes down looking. I didn't like the call either. Bottom of four, Missouri gets their final run of the ball game. Nuts and singles to third. Goldback goes down swinging. He's the shortstop that was lost for the year due to Tommy John surgery. Still DH'ing a little bit for him. Patterson's hit by the pitch. So here we go, right? Hernandez singles to the left side. That chases the run home. Macon then gets on the fielder's choice. We force the runner at second, but can't turn two. And we go get Ben Davis, who gets Lovitch to strike out looking. And that's just not a matchup I think favors Lovitch. Ben Davis, big, hard-throwing, plus-plus sinker guy. It's tough to elevate him, especially when he hits a spot. So 9-3 ball game as we get to the fifth. Stallman has walked and Powell's walked, and we think, okay, we're gonna do it here. We're going to go ahead and put some more separation between us. Nolan Stevens goes down swinging. He's having a tough time with that breaker in on his hands. And then Gat Sanders grounds into a double play on the very first pitch. So State gifted two base runners, and then we can't do anything with it. Bottom of five, 1-2-3 inning. For Big Ben Davis. Seals lines out to right. Nicoletto flies out to center, and Cerna goes down swinging. Top of six, and State's like, okay, we really don't want to hang around with you guys for long. As I don't know who sang the song, but I'm not here for I'm here for a good time, not here for a long time. That's kind of how it felt. Reeves grounds out to second, and then Reese walks. And that's one of the things that I think Ace has done a really good job of down the stretch. He's willing to take the walk. I think some of that is because there's just so much more confidence in the guys behind him. We didn't have that last year, and you could really feel it in Dakota and Hunter, right? Hizak, of course, got hot in SEC play, but sometimes it felt like Dakota and Hunter Hines felt the weight of the entire program on their shoulders. I think Ace this year, because of the composition of this lineup and the fact that right now everybody is hitting around him, that he's like, you know what, cool, I'll just take my base and let my guys drive me in. After Ace walks, and Sully is hit by a pitch on a full count, and then Hunter Hines homers to right field. Absolute tape measure job, makes it 12-3. Chance then goes down looking. Stallman doubles to left, and Powell goes down swinging. But it's a 12-3 ball game now, going to bottom of six, and Ben Davis just comes out here and just mows people down. And that's where Ben is so good out of the bullpen. We tried to make him a starter. I think he's a guy that probably just needs some time to get into the flow of the game. But he gets Nuts in the strikeout, swinging a Knutson. And then Goldbeck grounds out the second. Patterson strikes out swinging. So 1-2-3 inning. And we needed to get a run here just to make the mercy rule a possibility. They do bring Libert out there, a guy that Kerrick Jackson told me was off limits this week. But it basically serves as a bullpen. This game is over. He's just out there to kind of get some work. And he will be one of the guys that will pitch in Hoover should they get the opportunity. We expect Horn to start against Alabama in the morning. But Stevens grounds out to third. Sanders, Begat on a full count. Great at bat here. Gets down 0-2, works it full. Fouls off a full count pitch and then dumps one in the left there. Reeves singles to left, his first hit of the ball game. And then they walk Reese again to load the bases. Sullivan flies out to left field, just does a job right there. Runner tags and scores to make it 13-3. And then Hines goes down looking. I didn't like this call either. Bottom of seven, which proved to be the final baseball of the day. And I appreciate the fact that all the Bulldogs that showed up, man. A lot of Bulldogs showed up for this game. A lot of baseball parents, but by the time this game ended, there were more Mississippi State people than Missouri by far. Hernandez walks, and you hate to walk the catcher, right? I mean, this guy's a senior, and I got some things I want to say about that after we recap this. But Hernandez walks. making singles up the middle, and you're thinking, we're going to have to play another inning. Will we get Lovitch to strike out swinging, Seals grounds out, and then Nicoletta. This is the play that Joe Powell got banged up. We had to stop the game and get Ross in. And Joe's fine. Just a little bit sore and fatigued, and after catching, you know, back-to-back days, it catches up with you for a while. And that was a play where he really had to exert himself. So, you know, just go ahead and pull him as a precaution. Heifel comes in, gets all suited up for three pitches. Nicoletta's out at first. Now, Saturday was senior day. And I want to talk a little bit about this. And this is not necessarily a criticism of Missouri, so please don't misinterpret that, okay? Kerrick Jackson's been very kind to me. The people in Missouri treated me very well when I was up there. So this is not a criticism of them, okay? Please, please, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But, yeah, it was senior day, and we had a lot of – I say a lot. I think it's the first three or four guys didn't have any family there. They didn't have any family there. And the catcher Hernandez, I think he hit a buck 70 this year. Pretty good catcher, though. His girlfriend was there with him. She had came down. He's from New York. She came down there with him. And I don't know these young people's situation, okay? And so I'm not going to judge anybody involved here. But I know this. I would be at my child's senior day, especially after a long and difficult year like this. And I share that because I want to go back. It reminded me of I guess my next to last year coaching at Broadmoor. And I won't mention the young man's name because I don't want to embarrass him. He was a good pitcher, and he was a decent second baseman. The kid loved baseball. He just wasn't very good at it. But he had a role on our team, and one of the best kids on our team. Had a pretty good breaking ball. Wasn't going to overpower you with the fastball, so if he couldn't throw the breaker for a strike, it was a tough day. But we loved the kid, and all the kids loved this kid. Everybody did. Everybody loved him. He didn't call attention to himself. He was one of these guys that just did his job to the best of his abilities. He just didn't have a lot of talent. He had a lot of want to. He was never a problem for us, but everybody loved him. And as a coaching staff, we loved him too. And so I sat there and I coached that kid for 3 years, or maybe 2 years. And at no point did he ever have anybody show up to cheer for him, ever. Not a parent, not an aunt, not an uncle, not a cousin, not a grandparent. Nobody ever showed up for this kid, ever. So senior day is going around, and Coach Greer, who was the head coach, I was hitting coach and JV coach then, and he said, man, we can't have senior day and not have this young man's family represented. So we did a little research, found out who his grandmother was, and got her to come to senior day. And so she sat there, got the picture, you know, got her flower, and we're getting ready to play the game. And, of course, it's senior day, right? And so you're going to let the senior start. And so we're going to let him start on the mound. And I look up, and she's leaving. And she gets to the end of – and I don't even know if the kid knows this. But she gets to the end of the walkway, leaving the stadium, and she put her flower in a trash can. And to this day – that bothers me. And I don't know that he knows that, but I'm sharing that with you. I know he didn't listen to the show. I'm sharing that with you because I want you to understand what some young people are dealing with. There are a lot of young people out there that have nobody to cheer for them. And that's not just in baseball or in basketball or anything to do with sports. There are a lot of young people out there that don't have a cheerleader. And I remember, and it changed my whole mentality about coaching when this happened. And I began to realize that coaching was so much more important than winning and losing, especially on the high school level. You know, we weren't getting paid big money. You know, it's not like it's a $1 million deal and, you know, the wife's got to go, you know, hire the moving trucks and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's a different deal. I have a tremendous amount of respect for our high school coaches of all sports. Is a guy that's went into his own pocket many times to buy a Diamond Pro and buy a facility upgrades and things of that nature. One time I went and did a speaking engagement for a Mississippi State alumni group, and they paid me $400 for it. And I took that $400 and we went and put that money in getting the netting fixed at our baseball stadium. And everybody knew in my family, hey, I'm taking a speaking engagement so we can get some money to fix a net. But the best we could, we still didn't have enough money. We didn't. And so I understand the challenge that our high school coaches have out there. And I don't know that many of you do. And so the next time that you think about the fact that maybe your kid isn't playing enough according to you, I want you to remember that that coach that you're cursing behind their back more times than not, not only is he having to facilitate a game, he's having to raise a lot of kids. And he's having to go into his own pocket or go out and raise his own money to ensure that they have a good experience. And that includes your child too. So I'm going to encourage every one of you, if you will, if you're so inclined, that on behalf of these players that maybe don't have anybody to cheer for them, I'd like for you to make a small donation to your school's booster club. Whether it be baseball, basketball, football, whatever. Because I can tell you that money is invaluable to those high school coaches. You want to see some coaches with some real gratitude for their community? Let's go fill the coffers up in the booster club. So all of a sudden, coach didn't have to go into his pocket when it's time to go buy some Diamond Pro or when they need some equipment because the budget's already been exhausted. Or maybe one night when we're coming home from a doubleheader at Port Allen and all of a sudden I find out I got three kids don't have any money to eat, you know. And so that went on coach's debit card. And I can promise you a lot of coaches out there around the country, they're not going to let your kid go hungry. You might. But they're not. And a lot of times I get it, kids leave and they don't think about asking mom and dad for $10 so they can get something at McDonald's. I get that aspect of it. But I can tell you, from experience and from the relationships that I have, there are a lot of coaches within this state that will go in their pocket and not eat a meal so one of their players can. And so I'm sharing with that with you based on my experience to offer you an opportunity to help fill a need in your community. Because for a lot of these young men and women, sports is all they have. And people are like, Steve, that's hyperbole. No, it is not. For some of those young people, the only chance they have to go to college is to get an athletic scholarship. And thankfully, we have a great junior college system here in Mississippi. Gives them the opportunity to further their education, in some cases, get out of a bad home environment. A chance to go do something special with your lives. But also more importantly too, and this is one of the things that Greer told me, and it changed my heart about coaching. And he goes, you know, coach, ain't a lot of dads showing up at the ball game. And if we run this kid off, who's going to teach these guys to be men? Who's going to teach them what it means to be a man, to be accountable for yourself if we don't have high school sports? And so there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, there's so many problems and, you know, I don't know the answers, and I don't either. But I know one thing. I know that if we do our best to help fully fund high school sports and high school activities, I know that's a step in the right direction. All right, let's get in the game.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Three. And again, this was one I wasn't worried about it. I felt like we would win, but I felt like it might be a little more competitive. It turns out that it wasn't. Thanks in large part to a great first inning. And again, that was the story all weekend, which tells me we were prepared, right? And how many times have we seen it in recent years. You win the first two games, you let Sunday get away, and sometimes people stack arms for Sunday. Well, they held a couple. Josh McDevitt may be the most talented guy they started against us, and we jumped on him. He did not survive the first. And again, I think this game was over in the first inning. I think they had a lot of confidence. I know following the Friday night game, Coach Polk was talking to one of the Missouri players and a guy that he had coached up in Danville. And he goes, "Hey, Coach, we're going to beat you guys tomorrow." And there was some optimism, right? Well, it went away pretty quickly. Thanks in large part, you know, Hunter Hines had already made the big move, right, to pass Rafael Palmeiro all time. But Reese flies out to right. Reese goes down looking. He didn't like the call. I thought it was a strike. Sullivan then slaps a single to right field. McDevitt likes to work away from right-handers, work that slider away. That's a big pitch for him. And Sully slaps it to right field, and then Hines homers to right center to add to his own personal record as the home run king at Mississippi State. Chanson doubles to right center. Solomon is hit by the pitch. Heifel then singles to left field. Chance scores, making it 3-0. And then Nolan Stevens doubles in the left center. Run scores, makes it 5-0. Sanders then singles to the right side. So Bulldogs have batted around, and that's it for McDevitt. That's it. One time through the order, it just happened to all come in the first inning. They bring in Xavier Lovett, former Diamond Dog, transferred to A&M and ultimately landed at Missouri. It just hasn't happened for him. He gets Reeves to ground out the shortstop to end the inning, but it's 6-0 Bulldogs. Jackson Lovett, really good player in Missouri, and hoping the best for him. He's had to kind of work through some difficult circumstances, but he singled back up the middle. Seals flies out to left. We try to pick the kid off in the middle of all this, and Lovett takes second, but Nicoletto goes down swinging and then making grounds out to second. And I thought Carson Ligon needed a clean first inning. He got one. Top of second, State right back on the sticks. Reese singles to right field, and then Noah Sullivan homers to right field, makes it 8-0. And during this ball game, Mississippi State's 2025 team tied the school record with 97 home runs in a season. The next home run we hit will make this group the most prolific home run hitting group in the history of Mississippi State baseball. Hines has been hit by the pitch, and some people on Twitter were like, "Hey, I don't know if I like this." It wasn't anything malicious. It was just a breaking ball that got away from him. It wasn't anything. Hit him in the leg. It wasn't like they came up and in on him. Nothing intentional or malicious there. Chance grounds into the double play, and Stallman then grounds out the second. But it's 8-0 now, going to bottom of second. And Missouri gets their long run of the ball game here. They get a bunt down. Mateo Cerna gets a single on the bunt. And then Knutson's hit by the pitch. So, again, kind of self-inflicting some errors here. Patterson goes down swinging. Then Hernandez is hit by the pitch to load the bases. Daniels flies out to center, kind of a routine fly ball to center. RBI sack, fly runner tags, and scores from third. And then we get Lovett to strike out looking. Great pitch by Carson Ligon to close the frame there. All right, top of third. We get going here, Heifel with the infield single, and that's the thing that I have learned about Ross Heifel. Nothing is routine with Ross. Nothing. He's so fast. You don't expect a guy that big to be that quick, but he is. And so he hits his ball back towards the middle, and there's no play there. There's absolutely no play there. They balk him to second, and you feel like, okay, we got a chance to score here. Gatt grounds out to first, works like a bunt, pushes Heifel to third, and then Sanders gets on the fielder's choice. They bring the infield in, and it's a ground ball, basically a one-hopper to the first baseman. They go home with it, and Ross is done. We're going on contact there. It's a downward angle play. And then Reeves gets on the fielder's choice. They force Gatt at second. So we get the leadoff man aboard and can't do anything with it. Bottom of third, really good inning for Carson. 1-2-3. Seals grounds out to short. Nicoletto pops up to third. And then Macon grounds out to short. Not a lot of solid contact against Bulldog pitching the last two games. Top of four, Ace Reese homers to right center. Makes it 9-1. Sully's in hit by the pitch. Hines strikes out swinging. Chance flies out to right. Stallman goes down swinging. But it's a 9-1 ball game in the fourth. And again, Carson just kind of rolling along here. 1-2-3 inning here in the fourth. Sarna flies out to left. Knutson strikes out swinging, and Patterson goes down swinging. He had that slider working, and he said it was the only pitch he had some real confidence in, so he just kind of rode it the whole way. They bring in Chris Stahl for his second appearance of the weekend in place of Xavier Lovett. Heifel grounds out to short. Stevens goes down swinging. They get the walk to Sanders, and then Reeves grounds out, forcing a runner there at second. Bottom of five, Hernandez strikes out looking. Daniels out looking. Lovett singles through the left side, but it's really kind of inconsequential at this point. Pierre Seals, former Memphis Tiger, flies out to right field. Top of six, they bring in Kirchhoff for the second time of the weekend, and this is when things started getting ugly again. He walks Ace Reese, Sullivan's hit by the pitch, and then Hines walks. Base is loaded situation here. Chance gets on a fielder's choice. They can't turn two. The run scores here to make it 10-1. And then Stallman doubles down the right field line, hit that ball exceptionally well. Two runs score to make it 12-1. And then Stallman goes to third on a wild pitch. Heifel reaches on an error by the first baseman. And I thought it was kind of a tough luck call, to be honest with you. It wasn't an easy play. It certainly wasn't routine. Kind of range into his right, and it goes off his glove. They charge him with an error. I thought it should have been a hit. Heifel still second, and Stevens pops up to third, and then Gatt goes down looking. 12-1 ball game as we get to the sixth. A lot of changes made for the Bulldogs. O'Brien comes in. Chance slides over to left. McPherson comes in, and he will be your starter when the Bulldogs finally play A&M in the first game of the SEC tournament. Comes in, hits Nicoletto with a pitch, and again, just one that got away from him. But we induce a double play ball and turn that thing over 4-6-3. And then we get Cerna to strike out looking. Top of seven here. They bring in McCartney, a native of Brandon, Mississippi, and a product of Meridian Community College. Throwing on senior day. He gets Reeves to ground out to short. Reese walks. Sullivan lines out to left. Hit that ball pretty well. And they bring in Vaughn, another senior, that, again, just trying to let him get one final appearance. And he strikes out Hines looking. Bottom of seven. Charlie Foster makes his long-awaited return to the mound, and we're going to need him in the postseason. He gets Knutson to strike out swinging. They bring in Frost, a guy that, you know, gave us some trouble on Thursday for some reason. He goes down swinging. Hernandez, in his final at-bat as Missouri Tiger at home, singles through the left side, and then Daniels goes down swinging, and that's your ball game. And it was a pinch hitter there. But, yeah, Bulldogs take care of business, as you guys are well aware of by now. And so I think that's one of the most important aspects of it, is we needed to go up there and sweep. We had to get two of three, but I think every one of us felt like, you know what, we've got to go up there and sweep and make this thing happen. Let's take a look at some regular season stats. I think it's important. And, again, remember, several records fell this weekend. Thursday, State hit eight home runs in a game to set the single game record for home runs in a game. And then, of course, on Friday, Hunter Hines passes Rafael Palmeiro for the all-time career home run record. And then, of course, the Bulldogs on Saturday hit enough home runs to tie the 98 team for most home runs in a season. And then we score 50 runs on the weekend, which set a new program record. And I saw somebody try to challenge me a little bit, talked about how many runs we used to score back in the 1800s, and that's just not true. That we were an offensive machine scoring 30 plus runs a game. That's just not true. That's not at all what happened. But nevertheless, Ace Reese currently hitting .369, easily the most important player on our roster right now. We got to do everything we can to make sure he stays in maroon and white. 21 jacks, 66 RBI, and again, your SEC newcomer of the year. And I just, again, wonder, you know, once that foot gets 100% healthy, what could he do? But he is a guy that where he's hitting and the people hitting behind him, he's a guy you got to be careful of. And his splits against lefties are actually really good. Garrick Fry played on Thursday, got a little bit banged up, sliding into third in the first inning, which provided some opportunities for Stallman to come in, which really speaks to the depth of this team. Garrick Fry's hitting .360 and has only played in 45 games. You know, that's an interesting dynamic, too. We got 54 games. He's played in 45, 98 of them as a starter. Took us a while to find a home for him out there and left. And even though it's kind of an adventure at times out there, he's getting better. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens next year with him. He does have a year of eligibility left. Not a lot of RBI for him as a leadoff guy with just 16, but a guy that's done some good things for us. And, of course, Noah Sullivan out of eligibility this year. This is the last ride for him, but 13 tanks for him. We expected him to be a double-digit home run guy. He has been. Also 43 RBI. Bryce Chance just continuing to do Bryce Chance things. You know, we had him hitting higher in the order. I like him deeper in the order because he is so clutch. Not a guy that strikes out a ton. We'll put a ball in play and not try to do too much. Bryce hitting 340 and hit his fourth home run of the year over the bullpen at Missouri. 41 RBI for him. If I told you beginning of the year you'd get 40 RBI from Bryce Chance, you just said, Steve, I'll take it right here and now. Gad Sanders, took him a while to win the starting job at second, but he has proven to be a great addition to this team. Guys, when we broke camp in the fall, he was probably your fourth team second baseman. Now he's your everyday second baseman, hitting 325 with 37 starts, no home runs, and that's okay, 20 RBI. But you look at the run scored there, again, for a guy that hadn't had a lot of opportunity until the second half of the year, 26 runs scored for him. Yeah. Sawyer Reeves in and out of lineup a little bit. It's so interesting. He had to lose the job at second for us to kind of settle things in the infield. That's exactly what happened. He's hitting 295, also with three jacks, 20 RBI. And I like him hitting higher in the lineup. I like his speed on the bases. He hadn't run a whole lot, but he's 6 of 8 in stolen bases. We haven't run a whole lot this year. You know, we're 42 of 50, but we have not run a lot stolen base-wise. And I thought we would be a little more offensive in that respect. Reed Stallman. Oh, I guess we're skipping over Hunter Hines here. Hunter hitting 280, 15 jacks, 47 RBI. That's about what you expect, right? You expected him to kind of have a return to form, and I think having more pieces around him has allowed him to relax and be more comfortable. I don't know that he gets enough respect for the strides he's made defensively the last 2 years. Early on in his career, a lot of people were like, you know, he's not stretching well enough, his footwork getting great. He's gotten better as a defender and has certainly become very reliable for Mississippi State. Reed Stallman hitting 268. He's got 11 jacks, 8 doubles. So we have four players, that have double-digit home runs. It's Stallman, Hines, Noah Sullivan, and Ace Reese. And again, you look at Reed Stallman, he's got almost half the at-bats that Ace Reese does. And you begin to think about that. What if we've been able to find – and listen, lefty versus lefty's tough. It is. But Reed has been a guy that has been a very valuable member of this team. Doesn't get a lot of notoriety, but a guy that can really mash. Ross Highfield hitting 225, 3 tanks, 20 ribby. And then you get down beneath that. I mean, there's some other guys out there, too, that are making a contribution as well. Joe Powell, a guy that we hadn't mentioned. And again, 54 games this year. Joe has started 28 of them. Only played in 30 and got 7 tanks. Aaron Downs, a lot of people are worried about him. Talked to him and his mom after the game on Friday. Spoke to him again on Saturday. Aaron's not done. He's not done. I know some people are, you know, kind of forecasting, projecting some things. But Aaron has gone through pregame warm-ups every game since the beaning. And how odd is it to have two of those in 1 year and neither of those guys be done for the year? It's really a blessing in that respect, for sure. On the pitching side of things, you know, Pico is still our guy. And even though he wasn't credited with the win on Thursday, it was a quality start. Pico, 5-3. 4.13 is the ERA, but 107 Ks in 76 innings. He's given up 11 home runs. Opponents are hitting 220 against him. Yeah, I hope, and this will sound terrible, and I don't mean for it to, I hope he doesn't have to pitch this week. I'd love to beat A&M. I'd love to beat A&M in Auburn. And then, like, if we lose to LSU, that's cool. Okay, that's cool. I mean, I don't want to wear out our pitching this week ahead of a regional. I'd like for everybody to have a chance to get plenty of rest. And so, you know, Pico in a big ballpark against LSU, you know how well he pitched against LSU then at Alex Box Stadium. We get beat by 2 solo home runs in that game. So I think Pico would be a guy that would be a good matchup for LSU. But, you know, I'm okay if he doesn't pitch. I want to go win a regional. That's what I want to do. I don't know if we can improve our standing even by winning the SEC tournament. But I think you win a game, and maybe that negates you from having to go to Oregon or to UCLA. Just my feelings. Maybe you feel differently. And, again, you know, Evan Sieri, quality star for him. You know, Carson Legan was the guy that people wanted to run off. But down the stretch, Carson has proven to be really good for State. I mean, that night at OSU was miserable. It was. And as bad as it was for me and you, you can only begin to imagine what it's like for him. But, you know, you work through this thing. You know, he picks up the win over Manhattan. No decision against Missouri State. You know, 3 Ks, 3 walks. Against Arizona, he only goes 2 innings, gets a loss there. And then it's just like, what are we going to do? You know, we got to change our rotation. We bring him back against Queens. He has a really good outing there. We get the dub there. Loses against Texas. Had a decent outing, but they hit him a little bit. Only gave up 2 runs. Against Oklahoma, we lose that game 7-3, and kind of got away from him a little bit late. And then, of course, he gets absolutely shelled at OSU, sitting around all day wondering if he's even going to pitch. But since that time, most of the outings have been good. There have been a couple that have been blemishes there. Outstanding effort against South Carolina. You know, we two-hit him in that 6-0 win. He pitches the rubber game, the rubber game against Alabama. We get that 4-2. He didn't factor in a decision, but a good start there. Florida gets to him a little bit, but we still end up winning the game, and he's credited with the victory. 4-4. Goes to Auburn, and things were terrible. But since then, been better. Opens up against Kentucky. We get a win there. We pull him right before things. We feel like things are going to fall apart. He pitched extremely well against Ole Miss. Had a couple of walks there, but some of those were kind of induced by the coaching staff, kind of pitching around a couple guys. But you get the victory there. And then, of course, you win big. And so, again, you go back and look. We've won his last 3 starts. And 4 of the last 6, you know, so you start thinking about Sunday numbers, and that's a good position to be in. So, again, we expect Ryan McPherson to start game 1. If we win that one, it'll probably be Charlie Foster. And if we make it to the weekend, obviously, you know, we'll bring out our weekend arms. But it's always a fun weekend in Hoover. And after the top 10 list, we'll talk about what to expect at the SEC tournament. So before we get to our top 10 list, we have to award our Close with Blair Player of the Weekend. And we gave him this honor on Friday. We're going to do it again today because you don't set records and not be recognized for them on this show. And that's Hunter Hines, of course, kind of one of the leading cogs offensively down the stretch. There were calls from many people to bench him. He gets it going. And I think that's an important aspect of it, too. He did sit a game out in Houston and came back, handled it like a pro. He understood. You know, never putting himself before the team. What a great career he's had at Mississippi State. And my hope is he gets to play a long time before this season is over and then have a chance to play professional baseball somewhere. But close at Blair, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. 24 years of experience. Nobody stays in any industry that long by accident. He gets things done. When you think about your own mortgage needs, whether it's a purchase or a refi, stick with the winners. Stick with Blair Chandler. Visit his website today at closewithblair.com. He has closed several Boneyard loans over the years, including one just a couple of weeks ago. And so whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler and get his 24 years of expertise working for you. He knows how to structure loans to give you the best chance for approval. And if you're just starting out in this thing, get that pre-qualification letter. You want to see your real estate agent really get motivated to get you closed and get you into a new home. When they know exactly what you're approved for financially, they know exactly what houses we need to be looking at. You don't need to be shopping above your means and sweating this thing out. Stick with the professionals and let them guide you through this process. So again, congratulations to Hunter Hines, our Close with Blair Player of the Weekend. Time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's CalidoGuitars.com. It kind of works well having a guitar company sponsoring the top 10 list, since we talk about music on this show. I have a Kalido Guitars guitar stand. I love it. It promotes the health of the instrument. You don't need to have your axe just leaning up against the wall out there. That's not good for it. And so for the guitar players in your life, rather than go and buy from some harebrained company out there that you, they're not going to be there later, right? It's just, you're going to go online, you're going to buy like a brand new guitar, and it's not going to be what you want. There's going to be problems with it. That's why you need to stick with Koleto Guitars. Quality service before, during, and after the sale. Exceptional instruments, exemplary customer service. A Bulldog company through and through, founded by Bulldogs, owned and operated by Bulldogs out in Lake Jackson, Texas. I like to keep business in the family when we can. They're going to give you some incentive to do business with them. You should do it anyway because they're Bulldogs, but they're going to make it easy on you. You mentioned BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson, is your promo code, whether you go in person, whether you shop online, or whether you call over the phone. You tell them you got a promo code BSR. That triggers some savings for you, 10% off your purchase. No sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, free shipping and a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What more do you need? Maybe you should take up the guitar just for those reasons alone. Whether you're looking for a beginner guitar, a new guitar, or a professional guitar, they have everything you need, electric, acoustic, classical. No better place to shop than Koleto Guitars. Again, that's CALIDOGuitars.com, a Mississippi State company through and through. Okay, we have had a tremendous amount of response to the Sleep Token list. Many of you decided to take me up on it, and you listened to Sleep Token for many of you the very first time. And I've said before, there's a little something for everybody because they're kind of a genre-bending artist. And then, of course, Sleep Token's new album, Even in Arcadia, goes to number one on the charts in England and number one in the United States. Not just the hot rock charts, the Billboard 200 goes to number one. Didn't stay long. Morgan Wallen's album came out. So you country folks, relax, you gatekeepers. Crazy. But Sleep Token goes to number one, first time ever. And so I've had many people like, dude, I checked them out. Where have I been? Right? Where have I been? I've even heard from some former Bulldog baseball players, even Brad Jones, who is a fan and already was a fan, who has been listening to Take Me Back to Eden in preparation for Even in Arcadia. But I've had some other players hit me up and they're like, dude, this is pretty good. This is pretty good stuff here. It's unlike anything else. These guys are serious musicians, right? All due respect, there is no nothing but a good time in their catalog. Now, early on, they did some silly stuff. Like they covered Hey Ya from Outkast and things like that. And they've outgrown that. They're doing their own stuff. And so I've had a request. It's like, hey, tell me what else. We did a Sleep Token list some time ago. And looking back at it, I don't think I did a good job with it. And so we're going to revisit it again in honor of Sleep Token going to number one. All right, so number 10, off the Take Me Back to Eden album. And there's a mix out there kind of combining this song with others, but it's Euclid, and it's, again, a lot of piano, a lot of big chorus. There's just a lot to this to really like, but it's a beautiful song. Now, your number 9 song comes from the album This Place Shall Become Your Tomb. And it's ironic because the song is called The Love You Want. And it's one I think you'll have a lot of fun with. Maybe you don't know it as well. But it goes back a couple of albums. Number 8. And this is one of those songs, too. It's gut-wrenching, to be honest with you. And if you, especially if you've ever been in a situation. You know, we've all had those people in our lives that kind of love us like pelicans. You know what I mean? Like they fly in, they crap on everything, and fly out. Right? That's happened. They're the tourists in our lives. This song is kind of like that. And again, it's called Ascensionism. But you know, it's like, hey, I know what you want from me. And by the end of the song, he's like, you know what? You want the same things as me, so I'll just take what I need and leave. You know, it's really kind of sad, but it's also, there's this realization, there's an epiphany in every bit of it. Number 7, it's a title track from the previous album, Take Me Back to Eden. It's about 7 minutes long. And you talk about a wild ride, man. Oh my gosh. It's one of those songs that when I put it on, I have to listen to in its entirety. Even if I have to spend a little time in the car after I get home or whatever, I can't turn it off without listening to it totally. I think you'll feel the same way. Number six, sticking with that album, it's Chokehold. Another up-tempo, rocking, kind of a metal-type song. And that's the thing, there's just so much to unpack with a band like Sleep Token. Sometimes you hear all this operatic stuff and the piano stuff, and you're thinking, okay, this is easy listening. And then the drummer, too, kind of comes flailing in out of left field and with some incredible run, and you're like, where did this come from? You know. All right, number five. One of my favorite songs on the Take Me Back to Eden album, and I didn't include it when we broke down Take Me Back to Eden. And that's my fault. That's me rushing, not doing a good job. So I'll take the demerit for that. But it's a track called Rain. And it's a song about finding somebody you love. It's like finding somebody that gets you. And I love the whole thing about, you turn the dust into nothing. You know, it's like you can kind of visualize that, like your car sitting outside, you know, it's all dusty and the rain comes and just kind of washes everything clean. You know, and it talks about that in the end. In the end of the song, you know, so rain down on me. It's like, now that I found this person that understands me and can help me maybe navigate life a little more carefully and with maybe a little more wonder, now that I found them, I want all of them. Like, I want to get all of that. And I'm that kind of person, too. Like, I'm either all in or all out. You know, I'm just not one of these half-stepping people. Like, when I have been in relationships, I want to know a lot about them, right? I want to figure out how to love people, if that makes sense. Because I've got a lot of love to give, right? And it's been that way my whole life. And so when I have entered relationships, and sometimes that can be intimidating for people because some people want to keep it casual. And I've had those relationships too. But when you really meet somebody and you connect with them, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I want to hang on to this because there's so much value in this person and the way this person makes me feel. And one of the things that I have said many times about my lovely wife, Dana, is that, you know, she made me want to be a better person. And I think that's important, to bring out the best in each other. And so Rain, number five, and I love the song. And sometimes when I put it on, it's just the right thing for the mood I'm feeling that day. Now, I think we could probably agree, and again, we're not doing the anything from Arcadia is not on this one. These are the four previous albums. And this was my gateway song. And I incorrectly gave you another song, but that's not correct. And this is off the Sundowner album, or Sundowning album. It's The Offering. Absolutely phenomenal rock song. There's just so much going on. It's such a journey in the sound, man. It gives you the modern sonic experience, unlike a lot of other things. So I think that's one, again, you know, from the beginning. Maybe so many of you guys didn't know them, and maybe you're new to Take Me Back to Eden, and that's perfectly okay, right? We didn't all get in at the beginning, but Sundowning came out in 2019, and this was it, right? This was the one. And a lot of other people, they heard like the standalone single Jaws, which is great, but I didn't hear that until after the fact. And as soon as this song began to make the rounds, things changed significantly. But that's The Offering at number four. Now back to This Place Shall Become Your Tomb. It's the great song Alkaline, and I think it's one that everybody needs to know off the second album. I think it is the strongest offering off of that album. And there's some good ones on there, but I think this is the one that really, 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 really pushed them into the mainstream in many respects. Like Sundowning came out, and everybody's like, hey, man, have you heard about this weird group from England? Oh, yeah, I know that song. This was a little bit different. This album, I think people realized there was some staying power with this band, and you could really feel the maturation of the band, and that kind of took you into Take Me Back to Eden. But that's the song I think a lot of people maybe heard for the first time, and they were like, you know what? These guys are real. There is something real about this band. Number two, and depending on what mood I'm in, this is my favorite one. And I love this track, and again, it's off Take Me Back to Eden. The last two are. But I absolutely love this song. And I love the way that it builds and builds and builds and builds, and then you get to the end of it, and then it kind of like fades again. I love it. There is a ocean-type quality effect to the emotions of all this. Like, you're kind of up and down, and you ride the big wave, and, you know, there's a lot to it, but it's a track called Granite. And, again, it's a relationship-type song. You know, it's like you meet that person, and maybe they're a little bit cagey with you, and that's one of the things he talks about. It's like, you know, I was more than just somebody in your passenger seat. You were more than just somebody I was destined to meet. It's poetry. It is. But yeah, I dig the song. I think you guys will too. Granted, it's just, as Ani says, Granted is just a vibe. It's just one of those songs you put on. And that's the thing I love about Sleep Token. It's like nothing really sounds the same, but there is like a thread in all of it that ties it together. And it makes a lot of sense to me. But number one, it's the summoning. And I think most people in the Sleep Token family would agree that's probably number one. And there are a lot of people, of course, for different reasons. Because song, you love songs where they find you, right? I mean, you never know what's going on in your life. And then you'll run across a song, it's like, dude, this just exactly how I feel. And the summoning is so great, too. Like, you got this little R&B breakdown the last minute and a half. Great stuff. So be sure and check them out. Again, congratulations to the guys in Sleep Token. They've already got a sold-out North American tour. And they're kind of teasing some stuff on social media, too, that the battle continues. We're wondering, is there a companion album that's going to be released? Are they going to announce some more North American dates? I don't know, because everything in North America is completely sold out. Everything. In less than a month's time, every date in the United States is sold out. And I got to figure out if I want to go or not. You know, I buy some tickets on the third-party market or whatever, but I need to go see Sleep Token at some point. But that's your top 10 list for today. You can always find me on social media at ScoutSteveR. But the best way to make a request for the top 10 is to hit up Roy Samanthi, our friend, the keeper of the list at Dogmatic67 on X, DawgMatic67. And our great list also on his Spotify channel under the same handle, Dogmatic67. Be sure and check it out today. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We always have, and they love us. And one of the reasons we love them is because they have what we want. That's Mississippi State merchandise. Whether it be apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find at Campus Bookmart. You've got Bulldogs on your shopping list, whether it be, you know, Mother's Day, anniversary, Father's Day. There's always a reason to give a gift. There is sometimes you just give a gift because you love somebody, just for no reason at all. I just wanted to get you something because I think you're cool, right? Right? It's true. But look no further than Campus Bookmart. Go by and see their smiling faces. Next time you're in town, Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that place with all the latest and greatest Mississippi State merch. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Let's take a look back at the weekend that was. And man, what a wild weekend it was for Kentucky. They go into the Friday game thinking, okay, we're going to play our way in to this tournament. And, of course, Vanderbilt would have been an RPI climbing opportunity. Guys, it's a 5-5 game in the fifth. Vanderbilt scores in the sixth and the seventh to take a 7-5 lead. Kentucky responds and gets three in the eighth. They just got to close it out, but instead they give up two and get walked off in the ball game. Huge loss for Kentucky. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But Georgia and Texas A&M, it's so interesting how this thing works. An incredible performance from Justin Lampkin, who just earns his fourth win of the year. Did you expect that beginning of the year? He goes a complete game, 9 innings, and strikes out 15 as they shut down a Georgia offense at home and hold them with three hits. Was Morris Hodges behind the plate? I don't know. But A&M gets a win, 28 and 24. They get three in the third, one in the eighth, two in the ninth, and win 6-0. Seven hits in the ball game, very efficient. Gavin Cash with a good ball game for A&M, 3-for-5 with 5 RBI and a home run. Alabama, a chance to get even against Florida here. They do. They win 9-6 in game two. And it was a 2-2 game in the fifth. Alabama with a 5 spot there in the fifth to kind of get some separation. They tack on two more in the ninth. Florida made it interesting in the bottom half, scoring 4 runs. But Riley Quick, again, has proven to be the most consistent Alabama starter. And, again, this is a guy that Mississippi State recruited to play football. He's now 8-2 on the year. He goes 5 innings, strikes out 7, and allows just 2. You know all about the State-Missouri game. LSU, kind of a bounce-back game for them. Cade Anderson goes 6 2/3, now 7-1 on the year. 9 Ks, allows 1 run. LSU ahead 3-1 after 3, tack on 2 in the 5th, 2 more in the 8th, and finally 1 in the 9th for good measure to make it an 8-1 ball game. Nathan Hall 1-for-4 in a losing effort. But Bear Jones, kind of the story in this game. And he's a little bit scary to think about in the postseason. He was a guy a lot of people thought would sign last year. He came back to make another run at Omaha. He goes 3-for-3 with a couple of jacks in that ball game. Wild one between Ole Miss and Auburn. Give Ole Miss a ton of credit, guys. They had every reason to lay down in this ball game. Auburn had so much to play for. And so as a result, Ole Miss got Auburn's best shot. They jump all over the Auburn starter and get 3 in the first and then put up a 4 spot in the third to make it a 7-2 ball game and then just start tacking on and tacking on. Now, late in the ball game, Auburn kind of gets to the Ole Miss bullpen a little bit. They outscore them with 2 in the seventh. Both schools score 2 in the eighth and then Auburn with 3 in the ninth to make it a little bit interesting, but when you go into the ninth inning and you're up 15-8, you're not really worried about losing that ball game. And ultimately, Ole Miss wins to take the series. Arkansas gets Tennessee. And Tennessee is trending in the wrong direction. They've now lost 5 straight series. And that's, we talk about momentum. That's going to be an issue in the hosting discussions. Now, if Tennessee has a great week this week, they kind of answer that question. But outside of Liam Dole pitching on Fridays, I mean, they may have one of the best Friday night guys in the country, but outside of that, they've been pretty pedestrian. And that was the case here. Arkansas gets 13 hits in the ballgame to win 8-6. Andrew Fisher, 3-for-5 in losing effort for Tennessee. But Charles Dovlin, 3-for-4 in the win for Arkansas. Oklahoma gets the middle game with Texas, 8-6. Ethan Mendoza, 2-for-5 effort for the Longhorns. But Reed Hensley gets the win in this one in relief. You know, Texas, you know, tightened this thing up. You know, for a while there, like Oklahoma was going to run away with it. It was 5-1 in the fifth, and then Texas puts up a 5 spot. And you think, okay, we got a game now. But Oklahoma breaks through late with 3 in the eighth and then hangs on to win 8-6. So we go into Saturday. Of course, every series, the final weekend of the year, is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event. And A&M, competitive. Just not enough. Colton Smith gets the dub for Georgia in relief. And this was a scoreless ball game through 4. Georgia breaks through with 2. A&M ties it in the 6th. Georgia comes back to answer to take a 4-2 lead. And then Texas A&M's like, we can match that. It's 4-4 going to the bottom of the 7th. And then Georgia puts up a 3 spot. A&M scores 1 in the ninth, but ultimately loses the series. And again, give Michael Early and that group a little credit, too, for going to Georgia and playing as well as they did. Anybody thinking they're just going to lay down for Mississippi State is kidding themselves. We're going to have to go play and win that game. Auburn bounces back to salvage something from the weekend. And for a while there, it looked like Ole Miss may run away with this one. It is an 8-3 ball game in favor of Ole Miss going into the 6th. Auburn ties it with 5 in the 6th, and then from there it's all Tigers as they win 13-8. Mitchell Sanford, 3-for-5 in a losing effort for the Rebels, had a solo home run in the game. Ryan Hetzler gets the win for Auburn. Chris Rember, the guy that kind of platooned some at second base, played some pretty good ball for the Tigers right now. LSU takes the series 7-3, and Anthony Ianson's kind of quietly had a really good year for LSU. That's going to be a big deal in postseason. A lot of people felt like, hey, that's the guy we got to go get. We weren't able to get him. He goes to LSU. But it was a game for a bit. It's a 2-1 South Carolina lead in the fifth. LSU puts on three and then just kind of begins to extend as the game goes along to win 7-3. And South Carolina just can't swing it. I mean, outside of, Bo Hollins, Nathan Hall, Ethan Petrie, they just don't have a lot there. And then Vanderbilt, no ninth inning drama against Kentucky this time. I mean, that's the thing. I hate it for Nick. You go into the ninth inning twice with the lead and can't close it. And then you get ahead 3-0 in this ball game, and then ultimately drop this one 5-3. The Kentucky bullpen, just not a great weekend for them. And they're not a team that's built for these offensive shootouts, and so you felt like the Kentucky games with Vanderbilt would be kind of nip and tuck. They were. But in the end, the Kentucky bullpen just not coming through. Texas really no doubt in the finale against Oklahoma. Kind of helps Mississippi State, too. We'll get to that shortly. But, Texas gets 3-7 to break open a 1-1 game and then tack on 5 more in the final 2 innings to win 9-1. Oklahoma just 2 hits in the ballgame. Easton Carmichael with one of them, a solo home run, to account for the only Oklahoma run. But we felt we went up there. Like, if you don't walk them and give them, if you don't boot the ball around, and we did, they're not a great offense. Tennessee and Arkansas. In Arkansas, again, everybody's talked so much about Texas, but Arkansas, again, is a team that looks like they're built for the postseason. It's just going to be interesting. Does this offense travel to Omaha? That's the big issue, right? But it was a 2-1 ball game in favor of Tennessee heading to the third, and then Arkansas puts up a 5 spot, and then 1-4, 1-5, Tennessee strikes back with 2-6. That caps the scoring. Razorbacks take the series at bomb 8-4. Gage Wood in relief gets the dub. Andrew Fisher, again, former Ole Miss Rebel, having a good year for Tennessee, 3-4, 3 RBI and a home run. You know all about State and Missouri. And then, of course, Florida wins the rubber match against Alabama. Bobby Bozier with a 2-4 effort, 3 RBI and a home run. Aiden King goes 6 1/3, strikes out 8 in the victory to advance his record to 6-2. But Florida jumped on them a little bit early, but Alabama kind of hangs in there. But then the difference was the come-apart inning there in the fifth as Florida puts up a 5 spot and ultimately goes on to win 9-3. Alabama, another offense that is somewhat limited. That's something that I think at times that people kind of they look at that RPI and they look at the fact like that team I think has some holes in it. Which is one of the reasons that State was able to take that series, even over in Tuscaloosa. I think it's one of those scenarios where State had a good enough game plan that you look at it and you begin to kind of think, if this team is as good as people make it out to be, then what does that say about us? So your final SEC standings: Texas wins the league by 2 games, 22-8 overall in the SEC standings. Arkansas 20-10. LSU 19-11, and then Vanderbilt, a team, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think Vanderbilt was very good. Their pitching has turned out to be outstanding. They won 5 in a row. 19-11 for those guys as well. And then there's Georgia 18-12. Auburn kind of falling from top 8 consideration after a losing weekend in Oxford, and just right behind Auburn is Ole Miss. And you feel like, hey, Auburn is a shoe-in to host. And there's Ole Miss kind of right behind them, really only 1 game difference in the overall record, 1 game difference in the SEC record. But there's a logjam right here of 16-14 teams, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Alabama. And you begin to kind of wonder, how do you differentiate between those? And we're going to talk a little bit about that before we get out of here. But I could make a case for or against everybody. And you know what may happen, like if nobody differentiates himself this week in the tournament, it might be an easy thing for the committee just to say, you know what, these three teams are similar. They didn't all three play each other. Alabama has a 9 RPI, so let's give the hosting spot to Alabama. That could absolutely happen. Absolutely could. And then there's Florida. Again, maybe the hottest team in the country. And all due respect, Southern Miss. I mean, Florida plays at a different level. Southern's played exceptionally well, too. But Florida, guys, they were left for dead. And now they've won 6 weekends in a row. 15-15. Mississippi State left for dead. We've won, what, four last five? Four last six? Mississippi State now 15-15. And I remember at the halfway point, some people were like, hey, all of you guys are out of your mind if you think State's going to close strong enough in the second half to get to 500 or better. Well, that's exactly what State has done, and State's won five games in a row. Because of the loss to Texas, Oklahoma is a game behind State overall and in the SEC. And we're going to talk RPI a little bit later. But league standings matter. RPI matters. Head-to-head matters. But when you begin to look at this, look at how people have closed the season, State has more momentum, the better RPI, the better record, the better conference record. Those things matter. I think Oklahoma's heading out west. Then there's Kentucky, a team that I think is really on the bubble right now, 13-17. It's so difficult to think you're going to get them in. And, again, a chance to win a couple of games over the weekend and then don't. And you had the lead in all three games, and you don't get any. I think Kentucky is a team that probably needs to make the final of the SEC tournament to make this thing happen. And there's Texas A&M, 11-19. Did you think we'd be having this conversation week one of the year with A&M as loaded as they were? Of course, they had some injuries, which changed the complexity of things. But also, too, you got a brand-new coach. That's a lot of expectations for a brand-new coach to think, okay, hey, here's a Ferrari. You know, all you've ever done is, like, sit side saddle. But now it's your turn to drive. A lot of pressure, for sure. South Carolina, 6-24. And I remember beginning of the year, some people thought South Carolina was going to be good. They didn't do enough in the portal. And I don't think they will this year either. And, you know, you'd like to think, you know, South Carolina could make a move there, but I understand it's going to be extremely expensive if they do. Missouri, of course, 3-27. They set an SEC record for league losses in a year. So all three of those teams need to win the SEC tournament in order to extend their season. I think you look at Kentucky, that they're in a similar situation, but Kentucky's RPI is better. 13 win teams have made the tournament before. We have been one of them, but that's something to consider as we get into Hoover, and we'll talk about that after the break. This final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without fail, really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have stayed there and had a blast. Stayed there for New Year's. And I think you guys need to begin to kind of make some plans yourself to go bring your big group to Starkville. Whether it be a friend group, a family group, a college roommates, weekend, whatever. This place is open 365 days a year. It's not just a weekend retreat. If you got some vacation time this summer, maybe you're not going to Disney this year, but you want to come to Starkville and just maybe get everybody together. Kind of enjoy the glory of Starkville. It's a great idea. We say it all the time, we don't get together enough. Well, you be the linchpin and then your friend and family group and you make the plans. Just start checking out availability and start calling everybody and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. And everybody wants to do it anyway. They just don't think about it. So you think about it and put the plan together. Full service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, that fire pit area, six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths. It's right out past the Highlands, the old renovated country club house. It's great. The clubhouse right there, so super cool. Plenty of parking out there, not a lot of neighbors. Not that we want you going crazy out there, but just to kind of illustrate the peace and quiet you'd have and the privacy you'd have. Just have a good time out there at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the Facebook page will auto-populate. You can see all the amenities available to you and your guests, but also some booking options pop up too. Now, if you want to go Airbnb or VRBO, you certainly can. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website using promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10, to get 10% off your stay. Just by listening to the show, you're saving some money to stay at the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, let's kind of break down the bracket a little bit. We talked about Alabama, right? Alabama will be the morning game, and of course, I don't know they're going to be able to get these games in the evening. We think the morning games are going to be okay, but 9:30 in the morning, Missouri and Alabama are going to play, and I won't be surprised if this is a better game than we saw over the weekend. Number one, Sam Horn's going to throw, and he's a dude. Didn't throw against us. They held him for this opportunity. And this Alabama offense at times can be a little bit pedestrian. When Justin LeBron doesn't hit, they typically don't win. And so I expect Alabama to win this game, but I won't be surprised at all if you look up and you're like, holy smokes. I just don't think that that Missouri can score. Now, Alabama obviously will be throwing you're probably a midweek guy, and Missouri may be able to hit them. But, you know, Missouri got, you know, destroyed by Missouri State and teams like that. It's just not a great offense. There's no length in this lineup. And once you get through really the first third of this order, there's just not a lot of guys behind there that scare you. Sarna's a guy that can turn one around on you. And, you know, Lovich is a guy that can really play. But, yeah, and Alabama, again, I think when you look at this whole logjam with Ole Miss, Alabama, and Tennessee, you know, the committee doesn't have to make a decision today. They still got more data to collect. This is the final statement that everybody's going to be able to make to kind of polish up their resume. Alabama beats Missouri. That hurts a little bit in the RPI. And then you play Tennessee in game two. And I'm eager to see how that is pitched. How do they decide to do that? That's important, too. Because you could outsmart yourself. If you're one of these teams that you're like, hey, we know we got to win the tournament, so we're just going to throw all our, you know, fire all our guns at once. I kind of get it. But you get the winner of the Missouri-Alabama game gets Tennessee. And so when you think about if I've got three teams kind of in that logjam, well, if the right team wins here and the metrics kind of match up, then all of a sudden now I've got two teams to consider, right? And so that's one of the things to kind of watch as we get into day two is kind of what happens with Tennessee and Ole Miss. They don't play each other, but they do play on the same day against teams you feel like have a lot to play for. So that'll be interesting. You know how bad Ole Miss has been in midweek games? Could be interesting. We'll get to that shortly. Big game in game two, Kentucky and Oklahoma. It is a game that I think Oklahoma can ill afford to lose. You know Kentucky's got to go all out to win this thing. Now, if you're Nick Mangione, you're 13-17. You got to win this game. So you can't throw a weekend starter, but your bullpen arms, you're going to have those guys ready to go. Oklahoma, the 12 seed, Kentucky, the 13. And so, you know, I think a Kentucky win not only helps Mississippi State placement-wise, I think it helps the league because I think Oklahoma is in. I don't think Kentucky is in. I think even with a loss, Oklahoma is okay because I don't think there's enough West Coast teams in the top 50 RPI to fill out those brackets. So I think Oklahoma would be fine. If Kentucky wins and then finds a way to get Georgia in the next game, then you begin to kind of consider maybe Kentucky plays their way in as a three, and maybe they go out west. You know, that's something to consider. A lot to be played for here. South Carolina and Florida, you feel great about Florida's chances here. The winner of that game gets Ole Miss in the midweek, and we just talked about how bad they've been in midweek games. So you get the Wednesday game against Ole Miss. I don't know that anybody wants to play Florida. I don't. And they've had some more injuries, but they're still just kind of rolling right along. And give Kevin O'Sullivan and that staff a lot of credit. And you got to think, too, if you're Florida, you're probably thinking, hey, maybe we can play our way into the hosting discussion. And so if we knock off South Carolina, even at 15-15, if we go beat Ole Miss, who finished the game ahead of us, and Ole Miss beat us head-to-head, that's really the only metrics that really favors Ole Miss. And so if we go beat them, then maybe that gives us a chance to maybe leapfrog them. And I think, I know it's a long shot, but it's still a possibility. And, of course, you know about A&M and Mississippi State, and we didn't break down a preview on the show just because we had so much to talk about. But we do know who Texas A&M is going to throw in the ballgame against Mississippi State. Of course, Ryan McPherson drawing the start for Mississippi State. And it's Weston Moss for A&M. And let me real quickly just kind of pull that up, and we'll kind of give you a quick snapshot of who he is and kind of what he's about so you can be somewhat prepared. We will have our full pitching preview for you available in the morning before we leave from Hoover. That'll be posted. And again, I'm not optimistic about us playing tomorrow night. That's, you know, it kind of is what it is. You know, I can't make it any better or any worse than it is. But we do know that we have an opportunity to improve it. Again, I don't think State can be knocked out of the tournament, but we can help ourselves a little bit and give ourselves an opportunity to maybe again play in the East. And I don't know what in the world is happening with the Texas A&M website. You'd think an engineering school would have that stuff easily accessible. But let me go find Weston Moss right here on the roster and see if we can't find the information of which we seek. And that's a somewhat familiar name. Sophomore Weston Moss out of Spring, Texas, Montgomery Lake Creek High School, 6'4", 190 pounds, kind of a long, lean, right-handed pitcher. Let's see here. We'll get his numbers for this year. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, he has pitched a good bit, and 45 and two-thirds innings pitched, and has pitched, on weekends rather extensively, pitched two innings against Georgia over the weekend, and actually took the loss in that ball game, pitched in relief, and maybe all this was kind of by design. Maybe they're getting ready to, to go at it for Hoover, but they got to win the tournament. But Weston Moss comes in relief of Miles Patton and did not have a good outing. Two innings pitched, three hits, four runs, four Ks, two walks, just threw 39 pitches. And, of course, that game was played just a few days ago. So not sure how quickly that he will rebound. But, a guy obviously that is has pitched extensively for A&M, and with all the injuries and they've had this year, the pitching staff has had to be really good. Hadn't always worked out, but the numbers for this year: a 6-3 record, a 3.35 ERA, 21 appearances, just two starts, one save on the year, 45 and two-thirds, allowing less than a hit per 37 hits. You expect that from a reliever. Has allowed 19 runs, 17 of them earned, 49 Ks against 17 walks, almost 4-1. Allowed three tanks and a couple doubles. Opponents are hitting 215 against him, but he has had a tendency to get a little bit wild at times, especially with the slider. And he is a guy that's not necessarily quick to the plate. Again, long and lean guy, it's difficult to kind of hide your motion and your intentions, and kind of a soft toss and righty. You don't see a lot of that. He does have a fastball. It's got a little juice on it, but he likes to work the change and the curveball. And again, we'll have a full preview for you tomorrow. But, skipping ahead to the Wednesday games, and I don't know what we're going to do about a Wednesday show. I'm just going to be honest with you right now, because we don't know what the schedule is going to be for Mississippi State. Now, in the event that we play tomorrow night or end up playing Wednesday morning, we'll have you a show at some point. And it may be Wednesday night. It may be in the early morning hours of Thursday. I don't know yet. So just watch my socials and I'll advise you as we go. But do not expect a show Wednesday morning unless this weather forecast changes dramatically in the next 24 hours. But we will get up in the morning and we'll make our way over to Hoover. And we're going to be ready to go. We're going to be on site. And we're going to have a good time as best we can. But we get into game two here, or day two. And again, we talk about Alabama, Tennessee. That's important. I think Georgia is a lock for a top eight national seed no matter what happens in this tournament. But if you're Kentucky or Oklahoma, you could use a dub there. And I don't know how Georgia's offense is going to travel to Hoover. We talked about Florida and Ole Miss. Obviously, that's a huge game. And again, you start thinking about the committee has to make these decisions. In the event, let's say Florida beats Ole Miss, and that, say, no matter who wins between Alabama and Tennessee, instead of you having three teams to think about, you probably got two. So that makes the comparison a little easier to deal with. In the event that State wins against Texas A&M, we would advance to play Auburn again in the nightcap. And in the way that it is scheduled to go right now, Mississippi State is expected to be the night game every night of the tournament should we advance, until we get to Saturday. So you'd play Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they have the two games on Thursday, two games on Friday. We would be the Friday night game. And in the event that we advance on Saturday, we would play the late game, which is in the afternoon on Saturday. So plenty of baseball to watch, but not a lot of Bulldog baseball until the night hours, which means that you probably need to go ahead and prepare for some late nights the next couple of nights as things go. And you never know. And even if we get beat by A&M, we're in the tournament. Okay, I want everybody just to relax about that. Everybody's going, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine, okay? But we may end up out west. And some would say, well, that's inconvenient. I can't go. And I agree it's inconvenient. That understood, if we go out west, I think there's a good chance we're coming home with a win. That's how I see it. And some people have us kind of forecast to go to Tallahassee and other places. I'd love to go to Coastal, but a lot's going to change between now and Friday. We'll have an opportunity to get together, you know, a couple times between now and then, so we'll keep you apprised of kind of what we're hearing, what we're seeing. But if you hadn't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all of my sports titles there, along with my personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. I another huge week this week. It's been incredible. You can call 662-268-7601 and speak to my lovely bride and learn more about floating, or you can visit the website truerest.com. Follow us on socials, True West Float Spa of Starkville, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the cool stuff there. And, you know, if you're a person that has struggled with chronic pain or anxiety, we may be able to help you, but you don't have to have those qualifiers to come. You may just be a person that just wants a little peace and quiet, a little time to yourself. We can accommodate you. And, of course, come join us over at jeanspage.com. We'll have full coverage of the SEC tournament throughout the week. And, of course, you got official visitors coming in this weekend. Not a big group, but got some visitors coming in this weekend. And we'll get things rolling here pretty soon on that as well. And so we'll have full coverage of everything throughout the week. And we look forward to seeing you over there at jeanspage.com. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.